Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Before we read anything, let me quote some scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify or emphasize him with thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks unto the Lord always for all things. You know why? Because God is good. He is good to us. Life's journey, it's a pilgrimage. And there are ups and downs. And there are highs and lows. You can look back at this year. There are wins and there are losses. Disappointments, aplenty. There's good times and there's bad times. But you keep your eyes on the Lord. The Bible says, a just man in Psalm 37 falleth seven times and yet riseth again. So I was talking to a man this week. He's a medical doctor. And he was asking about the additions we put on and the building and the remodeling and everything that's going on here. He says, it seems like you're building all the time. And I said, I think we're going to be building until the trumpet sounds. And I think he knew what I was talking about when I said the trumpet sounds. He said, man, our church isn't that way. We got a big, beautiful building. We're shrinking. He said, our whole denomination, it's shrinking. And he said, I told some of our people, well, they're Baptists out there, and Baptists are aggressive. And I wanted to correct them right there. We got interrupted six times till Sunday, and I tried to get this out to them. We're not growing because we're aggressive. We're growing because the Bible is everything. Because the Bible manifests and exalts Jesus Christ. And we're all about preaching the Bible and telling people how they can be born again. That is gospel. That's good news. I don't have to work my way to heaven. Jesus did all the work at Calvary, and I can receive the righteousness of the only begotten Son of God if I'll repent of my sin. And people find that out. They hear that gospel message. They get saved. They're birthed into the family of God. And then before you know it, and the church just can, it's an organism. It's a living being. It continues to grow. There's body life here at Fundamental Baptist Church. There's body life at the New Testament local church. That's why we're growing. It's about Bible. It's about Jesus. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to make sure he gets that whole message, because I don't know that he understood what I was trying to say right there. But man, we just, in many ways, we let our God down. And God is still good to us. And the sin of ingratitude and the sin of unthankfulness, it's hideous. Think how God has blessed this church this year. Think how God has blessed in your home this year. And to be unthankful, that is, I think it's the worst kind of sin. You know, it's like doing this. You wouldn't do it and I wouldn't do it, but it's like taking the grace of God and the blessings of God and just throwing it right back in his face. Why aren't you doing more, God? Are you kidding me? Man, if I got what I deserved, if it had not been, the psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? I know where I'd be. I'd be in a drunkard's grave, apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So we have a lot to thank him for. Amen. Psalm 26, I know you're already there. September 6th, 1620, some pilgrims, they were called separatists in the day. By the way, some of those separatists were used, several of them, to translate the 1611 King James Bible. These pilgrims left Plymouth, England, their destination, the New World, new life, and freedom. They were filled with uncertainty, peril, and faith. 102 souls braved the harsh Atlantic waters. On December 11th, before disembarking from the Mayflower, they signed the Mayflower Compact, the first American civil document. They made it through the first year. On December the 13th of 1621, They had a three-day feast. And all Baptist people said, amen. Man, I love Thanksgiving. I think in order to be biblical, Debbie, we ought to have a three-day Thanksgiving. Where you at, Debbie? She downstairs? 3 days of Thanksgiving. Three turkeys. Three sets of pies. Three helpings of mashed potatoes. Let's not invite anybody to day two and day three, though. Just be you and me, Aaron. Because, man, my relatives, they eat it up, man. I want you to know that. They had a three-day feast. They thanked God above. Oh, I forgot the Indian king's name. What was his name? Massasoit, all right? And 90 braves came, and they celebrated. Later, General George Washington, President Washington, he proclaimed a Thanksgiving holiday for November the 26th. That was in 1789. And two other presidents, I believe, since that time, have done the same. As Americans, on Thursday, we're going to celebrate not turkey, not Detroit Lions. We're going to celebrate the blessings of God. Now, I'm going to celebrate it with a Detroit Lion victory, I hope. I'm going to be part of it. But that's not why we get together. And nobody likes to eat like me. I mean, I'm as big a foodie as there ever was anywhere, anytime. But man, it's not about that. We're going to celebrate the blessings of God. Who can say, who's been blessed of God? Say amen. Amen. This year has been a big year. And when you get the Christmas letter, I'm not going to be able to list everything. If you just think in your mind what even the facility looked like 1 year ago this morning, it's not even the same building. It's not even the same grounds. And that's just some physical things that we're seeing. Oh, how God has blessed and blessed and blessed over and over again. Go to Psalm 26. Stand with me one more time. I'm going to have you stand just so you kind of wake up, because that introduction was unbelievably long. It says here in Psalm 26, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I recognize it, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit down with the wicked. I wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Go ahead and be seated. The word gratefulness, or synonyms to it, are found 157 times in your King James Bible. The word thankful is found 72 times. It is a very big deal that we, as children of God, we talk about worship all the time. We talk about honoring God all of the time. Part of that, we're going to see it when we get to the end of this psalm, it's about the heart, and it's about being in tune with heaven, and it's about knowing the score and knowing how good our God is. I don't care if you're the person that is the least spiritual here this morning. You're born again. God has blessed you this year. I know he has. You have known the blessing of God. You're just too dumb to recognize it. God has protected you from many a calamity and tragedy, and he's had a hedge about you because you're born again, and you're his child, and he holds you in his hand. But he does allow things in our life to get our attention. It'd be better for you to recognize this morning the goodness of God in your life and be thankful for it. And if you're here this morning and you're not born again, or you're watching live stream and you are not saved, I want you to know that God has watched over you as well. You're still alive in this broken world of craziness that we live in. Every time you go down M80 out here in the highway, every time you meet a car, you come within 2 or 3 feet of a head-on collision. A lot of those people are texting. A lot of those people, some of them are drunk. Some of them are high on marijuana. And God just protects you again and again. You know how many times the devil wanted to kill you and have you go to the devil's hell? But God, the Holy Spirit, is working in your heart. You're here this morning. Amen. To hear the gospel, to hear how you can be saved, to hear how you can know you're on your way to heaven. Be thankful for that and take advantage of the gospel message, the invitation from God the Holy Spirit this morning, and get born again. I'll tell you how to do it here in a hot minute. You just kind of hold with me. The goodness of God. I got a 3-point outline. I'm going to give you all 3 points right now so that maybe you'll remember these points and you'll recognize this is what Psalm 26 is about. Number one, verses 1 through 5, we got to live right. Number two, verses 6 through 8, we got to love right. And number three, verses 9 through 12, we got to stay right. The blessings of God are all over us. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. David is saying here, I can't go back. I won't go back. I'm going to do the best I can to follow you. And David was a man of integrity. We all know about David's sin, but all the righteousness that David was able to accomplish in his life in leading the nation Israel. Remember what I said last Sunday morning? Never judge a man by his weakest moment. If you think King David, if all you think about is his sin with Bathsheba, and he suffered as a result of it, but God forgave him, and he was greatly used of God. And he said, Lord, I'm doing my best. Examine me. Verse 2, examine me, O Lord, or scrutinize me and prove me or test me. Try my reins and my heart. You talk about a man after God's own heart. He's an open book. Man, he just wants to, he says, God, you know who I am. You know exactly what my motives are. Man, I wish I could pray that all the time. And now I'm asking for your blessing. Verse 3 says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. He said, Lord, I've done my best to separate from those who love sin. I'm going to love them. I'm going to reach out to them, but I'm not going to fellowship with them. I'm not going to hang out with them. I'm not going to condone their sin. I'll be that light that's in the dark. And that's what David, exactly who David was. And he says in verse 5, I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Let me just say this, and this is on its lowest level. You're not going to win another man to Christ by having a beer with him and telling him about Jesus. Amen. That's not how it works. Because the unsaved know how a Christian is supposed to live. You lose all your street cred, all right? You lose all your credibility when you partake in their sin and then tell them how much you love Jesus. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't get it done. And what David is saying here, and it's a message for you and for me, get on God's side. And live right. Get to the place where God is going to be able to, he'll be able to bless you. And when he does bless you, man, be thankful. Again, I cannot think of a more insidious sin than ingratitude. Someone that knows better. Someone who's born of the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit lives within them, and they live their own life their own way. Never thank God for his blessings in their life, and there are many. That number one point is live right. Put yourself in the place where God will bless you. God's not just enough. God is more than enough. Psalm 32, turn over there. Psalm 32 and verse 5. Let me read verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The word blessed means happy. Happy is the man that knows the sin question is settled. Happy is the man that is walking with God in the integrity of Jesus Christ, God, the righteous, Holy Spirit of God. Happy is the man that knows he is right with God. He is living right. He knows his sins are forgiven. Verse 5, same Psalm, Psalm 32. In fact, I've got an arrow drawn from an old study from verse 1 to verse 5. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. The psalmist isn't saying, I'm a perfect man, God bless me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, there's nothing better than knowing your sins are forgiven. And Lord, I need to live right every day. And so I have acknowledged my sin before you, my transgressions, my iniquities. I know I'm an evil man. And I thank you for the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of God the Son. And ask for forgiveness and ask for fellowship. God blesses that. So that's what some need to do this morning in order to be thankful, in order to praise God in a proper way. God, you have not been praising God because you're out of step with God, the Holy Spirit. You're out of step with the Word of God. That's that old proverbial, one foot in the world and one foot in heaven, one foot in the family of God. You talk about a conflicted life. That is it. And you don't have God's full blessing that way. And you're full of doubt. Because you got one foot in the world and one foot trying to follow God. That just doesn't work. Though both feet are connected to the same body. Look at the word picture there. That doesn't make any kind of sense at all. That your life will be a mess. Get in the place where God can bless. Simply put, first part of this psalm, live right. That's not deep. You know right and wrong. Live right. Know what the Bible teaches? Live right. You want to be thankful to God? He deserves it. Man, I let me testify. Everything I have is of God. Everything. I may be one to stand up. I want to be that one to stand up and proclaim this. I owe everything to my Savior. Everything, everything, everything. Man, that's, he deserves my thankfulness. He deserves my praise. Say, preacher, how can I do that? Number one, live right. Get right with God. Number two, love right. Look what it says in verse 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. He's talking about getting to church there. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. I'm going to let it be known publicly. Verbiage. Praise God. And tell of all thy wondrous works. Boy, it not only helps others to hear of the wondrous works of God in your life. It helps you to hear yourself speaking of the wondrous works of God in your life. Man, there's just something about it. I don't think I'm the only one here. We're so shallow. We're an egomaniac where if we do not rehearse the blessings of God in our personal lives, we forget them. If we do not hear, when I tell somebody about an answered prayer, God answered a prayer that I prayed, I tell them about it, I'm reminded, and it just kind of makes it even stronger in my own life. That's why he says here in verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Man, he says, number one, I trust you are. I know a lot of you are. I am fiercely, and you can underline that word and print it in red. I am fiercely loyal to the local church. I know the New Testament local church is ordained of God and blessed of God. And I'm not going to let anything separate me from fellowshipping with the New Testament local church. I was thinking about this week in different cultures. This thought came to me. You know, we don't have to all look alike. I'm talking about New Testament churches. But there is certain criteria. There's things that we all do the same. Pastors, deacons, Bible, communion, baptism, Bible believers baptism, Lord's family communion, the right way, the Bible way. There's certain things we've got to do them right. We try to live a separated life, a holy life. You don't give into the world. You don't just pick up your feet and go along with the culture. That's a mistake, and that kind of dilutes everything, and it'll just keep degenerating as you go along. Here the writer, here David is saying, he is fiercely, and you know the other writings of David, the old 100th, Psalm 100. Oh, he loved to go with God's people to the tabernacle. Oh, he loved to worship God. You couldn't keep David away with wild horses. He was there every chance he could get there. He said he just fiercely loved the great congregation, he called it. Meeting together with God's people and doing things God's way, fulfilling in our situation the great commission. Love his church. Love his word. I love the Bible. Amen. I love the Bible. It's sweeter than a honeycomb, the scripture says. I love the word of God. God the Father said he has placed his word above his own name. He's ordained the word of God. You understand the book that we have right here, this book we have right here, our Bibles, it's never going to change. It is forever. That depicts the very character of God. Man, I love the word of God. I love the King James Bible because it's from the majority text, the Textus Receptus. I love the word of God. I love to study it. It has changed my life. There is power in the word of God. I had a bunch of scripture we were going to look at, but we can't. Don't have time. Some loudmouth preacher took too long in the introduction. Love the church fiercely. Love the word of God. How about this? Love souls. Man, love the people of God. Love the people that aren't yet born again and try to reach them with the truth, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be and need to be thankful. Look at Psalm 95. Turn over there very quickly. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. As a people of God, we need to be a thankful people. We need to be a thankful. You know what? Think about it. My cup runs over. My saucer runs over. Man, the blessings of God are everywhere. I trust and I pray and I see evidence of it and I pray for them all the time. I see it spilling over on my grandsons and my granddaughters. The evidence of God at work in their lives. And man, that's what it's about. Exaltation of Jesus Christ. You exalt Christ. I exalt Christ the way we ought to. The next generation is going to be all right because they're going to see not hypocrisy. They're going to see somebody that has the real deal and knows the real God of heaven. And it's going to impact their lives. And they'll testify to you, and I've heard it so many times over the years, they run back to the Word of God. They end up coming back to the church house, to the local New Testament local church. Sooner or later, they all come into a valley. Some learn a little slower than others, but they know where to turn and who to turn to. We need to live right, and we need to love right. And then one more thing. We need to stay right. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 26. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. Real quick, little caveat, let me say it quickly. I think every teenager needs to hear this, every grade school kid, every adult needs to hear this. There's going to be all kinds of people in your life to pull you away from God. Some of them are really likable people. Some of them are real smooth talkers. Some, they have a following because everybody's afraid of them. I don't understand much of that, but man, there's all kinds of people going to pull you away, and they'll all have a good reason to pull you away from God. Man, fiercely love the church. Fiercely love the Word of God. Go after souls and love the people that Jesus died for. Man, and there's going to be all kinds of people to pull you away from church. There's always something better to do on Sunday night. And it's amazing to me how in my short little lifetime, some of you don't think it's short, but to me it's been short. My short little lifetime, how all of a sudden everything's happening on Sunday. It never used to be that way. Man, when I went to high school, nothing happened on church night. No ball games, no nothing. We had practice, that's all we had. Sometimes practice was during the school day for some of us, just depends on the community you're living in. But it was like after 7 o'clock, nothing happened. No, nothing like that. And everybody was allowed to go to their youth groups and so on and so forth. Everything keeps changing. Our culture is getting darker and darker and darker. And as children of God, we need to be that people that just fiercely love the local church. Now, you go to work on Wednesday. There's things happening on Wednesday. You got it with school on Wednesday. Hey, I understand all that, but Wednesday night, man, come out to church. You work. Some of you do. Some of you work till 5:30 and you come to prayer meeting. God bless you. God bless you. That's a good thing. And just love the things that God loves. And then stay right. Verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Now, he's not speaking like he's no longer a sinner. Listen to what he says. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. David's not saying he's sinless. He recognizes, he acknowledges his sin. He confesses his sin. And he said, God, be merciful. I need redemption. Be merciful. My foot standeth in an even place. I like this. And the congregations, there he is in the church house again. I know it's tabernacle, I know it's Old Testament, but New Testament, church house. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. I'm gonna end this by speaking on that word bless. But before I get to that, it says, my foot standeth in an even place. That speaks of stability. That speaks of a rock. That speaks of a flat place where I have good footing. And I can do battle. Clear me out a spot. Here I am. The psalmist said, here I fix my foot. John Wesley used to say that. Here I fix my foot. I'm not going any further. This is it. I've cleared out a spot. It's an even spot. It's a place of stability. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to take my stand here. Here is the hill that I die on. And here's what the psalmist David is saying. My foot standeth in an even place. Stay right. Find that rock. And stay there. Stay committed and devoted to Jesus. I've lived a little bit of life. I've worn a lot of hats in that lifetime. I've pastored this church. In January, I'll be starting my 44th year. I've seen a lot of stuff. Inside the family of God, outside the family of God. Nothing really surprises me anymore. Over the years, I've seen it just go, the pendulum just swing. I mean, here's a person over here who says, Pastor, we love you. Pastor, what will we do without you? Man, what a church. Oh, we love you. And they don't go to church anymore. I mean, you know, every time I hear something like that, I think, oh, no. Somebody says, man, this is our church. We love this church. Oh, pastor. I'm thinking, oh, it doesn't have to be that way. I'm not saying that, but I've worn a lot of hats. I've been a dad for most of my adult life. I'm the old guy grandpa right now. By the way, who said these were golden years? Now, my arthritis in my lower back, it kills me more days of the week than not. And now, you know, I slept really good for the longest time, and now I got this thing going on, and you know, oh my goodness. Wake up, and it aches like a tooth. The golden years? Anyway, okay, all right. I'm the old guy grandpa. I'm the guy that he refuses to change. Man, I do everything the old-fashioned way. Well, that's grandpa for you. You know, he's not gonna change. And there's some things I am not gonna change. Now, I agree. I know this. As Bible fundamentalists, we're not subject to change real easy. I understand that. I'm in the right group. I know that as well. But man, there's some things I'm never gonna let go of. Never, 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 never. If as long as I have breath, I am gonna praise God. And everybody here can say that. If I'm on my deathbed, I want my last breath praising God, thankful to God. Man, if they take away both my arms, they cut out both arms and both legs, and they cut my tongue out, and all I am is a stump of a man laying in a hospital bed somewhere, and if all I can do is bang my head on the bedpost, I want to do that and let everybody know I am praising God. God is good. If all the blessings stop today, God forbid, but if they did, if all the blessings stopped today, I still have had enough in my life. I had to praise God every moment I have breath. That's the God that we serve. I hope you get a hold of that. I hope you as a child of God truly fall in love with Jesus. Listen to what I'm saying. Not the blessings of Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. He himself. The blessings stop, so be it. I love my God. That's what Psalm 26 is saying. You say, okay, preacher, I heard everything you said this morning. Get on God's side. Love the things God loves. Stay in the place of blessing. In other words, live right, love right, and stay right. Psalm 26. It says one more time in verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. The psalmist says, in the congregations, I'm going to make it known, will I bless the Lord. Say, preacher, how do I do that? I got three things. I'm not even going to have you turn to the scripture. Just three things, real quick, right here on my hand, these three fingers. Number one, you bless God by having a heart that is devoted to him. You love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, all your strength. It's a heart thing. You love him with your heart. You cannot bless God. You will not be thankful to God unless you learn to love him with your heart. You can come to church, pick up the hymnal. You can open your Bible. You can agree with everything that's being said, and you can give mental assent to everything. You can even say amen. But until it's from the heart, man, you're doing nothing for God. Love him with your heart. Number two, with your voice. There's all kinds of scripture that tells us that. Psalm 26 tells us that. You proclaim it. You verbalize your love for God. You tell people about your love for God. Your heart, your voice, and then your life. You live it. Your actions. That gives credibility to everything you're saying. God's not asking you to be perfect. God's not asking you to be sinless. You can't attain that. But he's asking you to sin less. When God the Holy Spirit lives within you, man, he takes a hold of you and you surrender to him. Man, it's amazing what you can get done for God. The Spirit-filled life is truly an amazing life. The child of God, sell out to him. Love him with your heart, love him with your voice, and love him with your life.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.